Welcome to PRN, Pause, Renew, Next, a podcast about soul care, scripture, and stories of faith. I'm Jenny Detweiler, and friends, this episode is really going to bless you. It certainly has me. It was my joy and privilege to get to talk to Claudia Campbell about her devotional, These Stones Remain, 60 Reflections on Finding Hope When Darkness Lingers. Claudia has some really difficult parts to her story, which she'll share on today's podcast episode, but truly the joy of the Lord is her strength. It's hard to spend time with her and not come away feeling encouraged. We also talk about peonies, parenting, grace, and a lot of other good stuff. I think you're really going to enjoy this episode. So with that, let's jump into the conversation. Well, Claudia, I'm so excited to have you on the podcast. Would you like to share a little bit about yourself?
Sure. I'm so happy to be here. Who is Claudia? I am a wife. I'm a mom. I'm a daughter, a sister, a friend of God, a friend of people. That's just me. I love God hard. I love people hard. I love chocolate croissants, beach sunsets, coffee, and I love really hard. So that's kind of me in a nutshell.
I don't think there was anything in there that I also didn't like. So good. That's a good list. I love it.
Love it.
Yeah. So I want to talk today about your book, which is called These Stones Remain, 60 Reflections on Finding Hope When Darkness Lingers. But before we get into your book, like, you have a pretty incredible but also hard story. And I wondered if you would share some of that with us and where this book came from.
Sure. So my husband and I, we've been married for 20 years. We celebrated 20 years this past July. And we are high school sweethearts. We've been together since we were 16 years old. And throughout our journey, we kind of started out getting married thinking, all right, you get married, you have kids, it's just how it's going to happen. But it didn't quite work out that way for us. And so shortly after we got married, I got very sick. I found out through that process that I actually had stage 4 endometriosis. And so that was a very, very painful disease, which really led to me being bedridden. I was chronically ill, in pain all the time. It also led to infertility as well. And so we really got thrusted into pain, into chronic illness, into infertility. We've had multiple miscarriages through that process as well. I've had to have several surgeries along the way. And through that process, we finally kind of went through a lot of IVF cycles. We finally got pregnant with triplet boys that we ended up losing. I delivered at just about 23 weeks, and we ended up losing our boys shortly after they were born. And their names were Noah, Caleb, and Micah. I like to say their names because it gives me great joy to say their names and to remember them even on this side of eternity as we await that one day closer when we hold them again. And so for me, when I think about getting to that point, there was really a lot that we had to face, you know, personally, spiritually, emotionally, individually and in our marriage. We, shortly after losing our boys, were blessed to do one more cycle of IVF, and we have twin girls now who are the pride and joy of our whole world. They run the house. They really do run the show. You know, I tell people they're in charge and I'm their secretary. You know, they have their daddy wrapped around their finger. You know, God has really just been so kind and so gracious to us with blessing us with our girls. And so Eliana and Nia have really changed the way how we viewed just life in general. And they both actually are on the autism spectrum. And so one has a bit more needs than the other, but we still kind of go through parenting with special needs, even while continuing to balance grief. And so I think for me, when I think about this whole you know, last, you know, couple decades. And I think about where I am right now with These Stones Remain, a lot of it has been handling that tension of joy and grief every day of our lives. You know, we think about the grief that we have walked through while balancing sometimes the guilt of being happy with, you know, the girls. And also we think about, even before we had the girls, just how do we continue to love each other and enjoy life while grieving a life that we thought we were going to have, a life that, you know, just never really materialized the way we thought it was going to when we got married 20 years ago. And so, you know, really, when I think about us and our story, I really see it as one where God has really just been so present and has showed himself to be so strong, so present, so mighty, and one that has held us in the joy and in the grief, you know, because as I said, even the joy sometimes is hard to hold while still walking through suffering every day. So yeah, that's me. That's us. That's our story.
Thank you for sharing that. I really appreciate it. So this book, I bought it. I started reading it. I really related to some of the things that you said. Different life story, different path. But a lot of the things that you shared are so applicable to so many people, including myself. So I'm interested to know what led you to write this book and how did you come up with the title?
So it's interesting that you said that it's relates to so many different people, because that's actually what made the title the way it is right now, These Stones Remain. That was not going to be the original title. And so I actually have signed a lot of my posts once I started sharing on social media with For This I Prayed. And so I signed a lot of things with For This I Prayed. And as I was signing it, I just assumed that the book was going to be For This I Prayed. And I remember as I was writing it, I got some advice that, well, that might appear as if it's related to the story of Hannah, when in fact, it's much bigger than the story of infertility. And it's really about being in that tension of wanting to surrender to the sovereignty of God in the midst of whatever it is that you're going through while still holding on to hope. And that transcends whether it's infertility or it's grief or it's illness or it's pain or just suffering of any kind in a fallen and broken world. And so, you know, These Stones Remain was definitely not the title, but it ended up being such a fitting title when I sat and I thought back to some of the notes that I had jotted down years ago as kind of a way that was more therapeutic for me to walk through some of the challenges that we were walking through. You know, I'm actually an actuary in real life. And so I'm a math person. I struggled with going through things that did not have answers, right? Yes. I mean, 2 + 2 is always 4. Right. So that's it, right? And so as we were walking through this, I started jotting things down. And at some point, the Lord said to me, you know, Claudia, these are going to be your memorial stones, right? From Joshua 4, where, you know, he commanded the 12 men from the 12 tribes of Israel to each gather a stone as just something that you'd look back on and remember when the Lord brought you through. And so as I started making notes in my little notes app, I kept writing down a stone. I would write down a stone. I would write down a stone. And as I thought about trying to write this book on the other side, for example, I kept thinking, all right, I'm going to get through all these things and I'm going to have these stones to look back on. And then I realized it was one thing after another. It was infertility. Then it was pain still there. Then now it's special needs parenting. And so all of a sudden, I realized that these stones were actually for me too, because we live a life in a broken world where the suffering never really ends on this side of eternity.
It's true.
And I just wanted to be able to go back and say, Claudia, here are the reminders that God was with you before, and he is going to continue to be with you today and tomorrow, because he doesn't change. And so these were really reminders for me to hold on to, just reminders of the goodness and the faithfulness and the presence of God in the midst of everything.
I love that. Isn't it funny how we have one idea and then the Lord slowly changes it, shifts ever so slightly over time until we realize something different.
He's so good.
I read in your book, you said, I had plans to write this book on the other side of pain. Instead, I'm writing in the midst of it.
Yeah.
And our theme this year on the podcast is being a human in process. And I picked that. Well, I think the Lord picked it. But I picked that because I realized as a therapist, as a human, everybody wants to fix it. We want to be on the other side. And really, it's a journey, kind of like what you're talking about. Like, we think, well, if I just get through this, it'll be over and I'll feel better.
Yeah.
And sometimes that's true. I mean, it doesn't always stay at the same intensity, but there are like waves of suffering that come in humanity, sometimes more than others. So that's part of the reason why I was so thankful to have you on the podcast. But can you talk about how you shifted your expectation to waiting till you were out of it to writing in the midst of it?
Yeah. I think for me, I've often struggled with the weight, right? The whole weight, and just the idea that I'm always waiting on things to pass. And what I realized was oftentimes some amount of darkness in one way, shape, or form tends to linger. And I kept thinking that, all right, I'm going to wake up one day and this is going to be it. And I realized that as we are suffering in this world, right, that one day that I'm going to wake up is on the other side of eternity, and I'm not there yet. So this whole process, this whole journey is a wait. And if I'm sitting here waiting on the perfect life or the perfect story, things to be tied up with a bow, I'm just not going to get there right now. Right. And so that's where, you know, I started to sit and I started to think about, all right, if I am not thinking about getting on the other side of the wait, then how do I then manage being perpetually in the wait? Because that's what we're all doing. You know, we are literally in that, you know, not here yet, but, you know, him being here kingdom. Right. And so it's in that, how do I manage the fact that, all right, he's not here yet, but he has come and he is coming again. And how do I continue to really hold on to hope in that period and not really cave into the darkness? And so that's where, you know, some of this perspective shift came from as well. And what's interesting is when I started writing the book, I actually lost vision, like physical, like I actually physically lost my vision. I did. I had picked up a new autoimmune disease and I did not know. And I actually lost vision in my eye. You know, overnight, the pressure went up. I had to go to the doctor, all the things. And I was like 2 pages in or something like that.
Wow.
And I said, all right, God, is this what you mean by not by faith? I'm sitting there, you walk by faith, not by sight. I'm like, you know, Lord, you didn't have to be so literal with this, please. Thank you. You know, but in that moment, as I continued to write, to process even the pain that I was walking through, the Lord was kind of saying to me, I'm still giving you the words. I'm still here. What are we going to do with this? Are we going to wait, or are we going to dictate it until the moment that we're somehow able to get this corrected? What are we going to do? And again, the process of being in that continuous wait, right? Mm. If it's not one thing, it's the next. And so he's been here all along. And the real shift in perspective was, I'm waiting on what? I'm waiting for him to come without recognizing that he's right here. And so that for me was where things shifted in it all.
I love that. I don't know if you've read KJ Ramsey's book, This Too Shall Last.
Oh, it's right here. So I'm a big KJ Ramsey fan. So it's literally right there.
I think her book and talking to her was the first time I heard somebody really talk like that, like not waiting till it's all over, but God's in the process. He's right there in the midst of it. I love that. That was a beautiful way of saying it. I wish I remembered your exact quote, but it was something like, life is being in a perpetual wait.
Perpetual wait.
That's right.
Yeah. Perpetual wait.
So in your reflections, you have an acronym that you use called THIS. That stands for Thanksgiving, Hope, In the Midst Of, and Surrender.
Yeah, yeah.
Can you talk a little bit about those four ideas and how they help us in the midst of waiting?
Yeah. So as I was citing for this, I prayed to all of my posts. The Lord said to me one day, Claudia, what's this? And I sat there and I said, what do you mean? He's like, what's this? And I've really recognized that for me, this became something that allowed me to sit in the tension of the joy and the grief, to sit in the tension of the wait each and every day. And it really became thanksgiving and hope in the midst of surrender. Sometimes this for me was the sunset. Sometimes this for me was being able to open my eyes to something beautiful that he did through the lives of my kids. And really, as I thought about this, the thanksgiving was a way to continue to practice gratitude for me, because in practicing the gratitude, I was able to really build trust, because I realized that sometimes in the wait, our trust tends to falter, right? And that's really what's happening when our faith is kind of dwindling, is we get to a point where we're like, all right, God, are you really going to do what you said you're going to do? And what does that look like, right? Do I trust that he might have an answer for me that might not look the way that I intended? Do I trust that he's working it out for my good and for his glory? And so for me, Thanksgiving was a way, as I practice Thanksgiving, and Thanksgiving in everything, celebrating what's my win for today, it really built my trust. And one of the things I really held on to was Psalm 42:8, where it says, when my soul is in the dumps, I rehearse everything I know of you. And that was really big for me, because I sometimes, in practicing, I had to just rehearse it. Like, I had to remember, God, all right, today you woke me up. Today you kept me. I'm still here. You know, sometimes it's, God, guess what? The resurrection today, it's enough. That's it. It's enough, right? And so that's really how Thanksgiving was kind of helping, you know, me in the process of the wait. When I think about hope, just really remembering that God is my hope, right? And if I put my hope in him, he won't let me be put to shame. And so God really is my hope. And even in that, it almost gave me permission to keep dreaming. I find that sometimes when you're in the wait, you keep your dreams to a minimum, or you stop dreaming even, because you're just not sure about what's going to happen. And so the H for me was continuing to hope, putting my hope in him, and I'm also putting the dreams that I still have, the ones that I know he's called me to, still putting it in his hands, right? Knowing that he holds all things together. And so that's the hope for me. The I in the midst of is really just keeping it real. I think sometimes we want the confetti. We want the smiles. Everything's great. The I for me really is, all right, this sucks. if I could say that out loud.
Yeah, let's be real.
Like, let's be real. This is just not fun, right? And Lord, I know you can take it. I can call out to you. I can cry out to you. I can say how long, I can lament. Weeping is a whole prayer.
Yes.
And in the midst of it right now, I'm like, God, we're in the thick of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I need your help. And if that help looks like you're just sitting here, and I know you are, thank you for your help. I just need you to hear me right now, because I feel all alone. And I think it's very important for us to be real with God, because in being real with God, I think it helps us to be real with ourselves, right? And because sometimes we almost don't want to say it out loud. And what I realized is even after having the girls, I felt like, all right, God, you've blessed me so much already. Can I really still ask you for the things that, you know, are still on my heart? You know, I know that these girls are a huge blessing. Can I ask you to help me through parenting with special needs? All right, God, please. You know, I was still walking through pain even after having the girls, and I was sitting there and I almost felt guilty to ask him for anything else because he'd given me these two girls who were miracle girls who nobody thought would ever come. We had like a 1% chance of having them. So, okay, God, can I ask you for anything else? Claudia, be real. Be honest with the Lord, right? And so that's really what the I in the midst of meant for me. And then the S, surrender, because I'm a control freak.
Me too.
And so I really need to keep reminding myself to release it, to let it go, to surrender my hopes, my dreams, my prayers to the sovereignty of God, and knowing that he's holding me, and in holding me, he's holding my thoughts, he's holding my dreams, he's holding my prayers. And also, I'm not that powerful to mess it up. So guess what, Lord, over to you.
That's right. I mean,
you know, so yeah, that's Thanksgiving and hope in the midst of surrender.
So good. So good. So in the midst of, I love what you said about lament, like not having to make it pretty. And let's just be real for a second. I have gone through a season of life where I was having to deal with chronic pain. And there's something about having pain inside your body that makes you not even think straight. And I know you've dealt with that for a very long time. So I don't even know how you would gussy it up, you know, when you're in constant pain, when you're like in need, when your kids are having big issues that you're having to deal with. Like, we're kind of at our, like at our lowest point. We're very vulnerable when all those things are happening.
Yeah.
So I love that you just gave everybody who's listening permission. Same. In the midst of, God wants to hear how it actually is.
Yeah. Be real. Mm-hmm. Cry. It's a whole prayer.
That's right. I agree.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you wrote about in the book your favorite flower, which I love. I have like 5 or 6 peony bushes.
Yay!
And I'm so happy whenever they come up. I just wait for them.
They're the best.
I love them.
Mm-hmm. They're the best.
So how did you come to love them? And will you share the story that you talk about in your book?
Yes. Yes. So in our house, we often say we're waiting on peonies, right? That's something we do in our house, is we wait on peonies. They're only around for like a week, but we all sit and wait on peonies. After we lost our sons, my husband planted, peonies for me. And it took years before they bloomed. But then when they bloomed in threes for our three boys.
Oh, wow.
And every year, our peonies have bloomed in threes. Every year. As a matter of fact, this on their 9th birthday, and what would have been their 11th birthday, we actually got 27 peonies on their 9th birthday.
Wow.
We got 33 peonies on their 11th birthday from that plant. Only
That's
God.
Amazing.
Only God.
Yeah,
and
wow.
So it's just so we love peonies in our house. I now have about 5 or 6 plants around the house. I've even learned how to preserve the peonies so I hold them even longer. It's a whole thing. Love it. And so peonies is just a big thing in our home. It reminds me of how God brought us through our boys. And it reminds me, honestly, of the way in which the boys changed our lives. You know, me as an individual, me as a mom, the way I live my life through the lens of eternity is really as I think about one day closer to being with them. And so peonies changed our whole world because the boys changed our whole world. And I love them and I honor them every single day I can through peonies. And when I love peonies so much, I try to have them as much as I can. And so I have a couple places online where I get them from in the off season. And so there's this one place in particular. I've always ordered my peonies from them. And I saw their peonies. They were having a sale. I went to go order the peonies. And the Lord said to me, send her your peonies. And he was he put my friend on my heart. He said, send her your peonies. And I said, God, you're joking, right? These are my peonies. You've got to be kidding. And even with the discount, they weren't cheap. So I was like, you know, God, you know, I can't afford to buy two sets of peonies. And I really need these peonies right now. I was already feeling kind of out of it. I needed this booster. He said, send her your peonies. And so I sent her the peonies. And then shortly after I sent her the peonies, she let me know that when they got there, it had been during like a hard week for her family. They had gotten, you know, very, very ill. She had had some losses and they really just needed a booster in that moment. They needed a sign that God was with them and it blessed her so much. And shortly after she got them, I got a note from the company saying, hey, you shop with us all the time. Here's like a huge coupon for like, I think it was like 50% off or something like that. But essentially, they almost gave me the peonies for like almost nothing. And then I ended up getting another set of peonies for our home as well. And so it was just such a sweet reminder from the Lord that he's so much bigger. You know, he's bigger than what I can ask, dream, or imagine. You know, it was such a reminder that in being obedient, he will give you also the desires of your heart. And he didn't have to do it to be God. He didn't have to do it to be good. I did it anyway, but I'm so grateful that he did because it really just kind of blessed my heart at a moment where it made me say, you know what? I haven't forgotten about you either. Mm-hmm. I have not forgotten about you either. I still love you. I delight in you. And, you know, here are your peonies. And I often sign my peonies to myself one day closer. I write one day closer on every single note that I send to myself. And when I get them, it's a reminder that I'm one day closer to eternity where I hold all my babies. All my babies.
I love that. What is your favorite color of peonies?
Purple. Purple. I thought you said my favorite color is purple. The peonies. So I have to tell you, I'm getting a little impartial.
Just like all of them.
It's tough because my original peonies are the light pink peonies, which I really love. My husband really recently bought me a coral set.
Ooh.
I would like that. So pretty. The coral has a pink center. Ooh. And it is really pretty. So I will say that it's between the coral and the original light pink. But I love them all. I love peonies. Just love
peonies. Just in general, purple is your color.
In general, purple is my color.
Love it.
Purple and hot pink, as you can tell.
Yeah. So our peonies are kind of like hot pink. They're like hot pink with like a reddish tinge.
Yes.
But they're so pretty. I love them.
So pretty. Mm-hmm. Peony. You can't go wrong with peonies.
You can't. Yeah. So what stands out to me about that story is like how personal God is. He was personal to you, but he was personal to her. Like he worked through you to comfort somebody else because he's the God of all comfort like that.
That's it.
It's beautiful. I love that.
That's it.
So you talked about this a little bit at the very beginning.
Yes.
But joy, I think, is often misunderstood. Mm. Most of the people talk about being happy, whatever that means. And it certainly doesn't feel like it belongs alongside grief and suffering. So what has the Lord taught you about joy these days?
So I realize that one of the things he's taught me about joy is I don't have to feel guilty for walking in joy.
That's good.
That was hard for me because I just felt like I should keep mourning. And I didn't know how to do that alongside the genuine joy that the Lord has just filled my soul with. The reality is that even before we had the girls, God did a work in my heart where he healed my heart even when my hands were empty, you know. And one of the things he really showed me was he was always with me. And when the Bible said in his presence there is fullness of joy, it's so true, right? Because as I recognized that he was always there, I realized that there were times he would open my eyes to things that would make me smile that may not even make anybody else smile. You know, I would see a butterfly fly across and I'd get so giddy, right? Recently, we have hummingbirds that come in
the spring.
Oh, they're
my favorite.
Oh,
I love
my
them.
Goodness. I love hummingbirds. And so my husband planted, he put like a hummingbird feeder right outside my office. And I sit there and I wait for the hummingbirds to come in April. And then I get so sad when they leave. But then when they leave, he brings something else, you know? And so these are the things that the Lord uses to just bless my heart. And I've realized that as I sit in his presence and I realize that he's with me and he's not going to leave me, he fills my heart with joy. Sometimes even with and alongside the days where I miss my boys. And so there are times when, you know, I miss my boys and then my daughter will come and give me a kiss on the cheek. And I'm like, all right, thank you, God. And so he's really gotten me to a point where I don't feel guilty for feeling joyful, even as I hold the joy alongside the grief, which I really think I walk through every single day.
Yes. Yeah. Thank you for sharing that. That's really important. That Inside Out movie, I've only seen it once, the first one, but it talks about how joy and sadness can go together like that. And really, yeah. You can't, in a way, you can't have one without the other. And
exactly.
I feel like that is kind of true here on planet Earth.
Yeah.
On this side of heaven, that is kind
That's
of true.
It. That's it. That's it. We're waiting. Mm-hmm. But even while we're waiting, we can still walk in him and experience, you know, experience what he has for us right where our feet are planted. You know, he said he came that we would have life and have it more abundantly. And I think in that abundant life, there is joy in him. And so that's what I try to find and to seek out. My, what's this today, Lord? All right. Sometimes that's all I pray sometimes when I have no words. I say, all right, Lord, what do you have for me today? What's this? I am.
I love that. I need to start doing that now. That's contagious. Thank you. So I'd love to talk about parenting for a minute before
yes.
we're done. How has parenting your daughters changed you? And what are you learning about life and faith as you parent them?
So for me, parenting has taught me that I cannot be a perfectionist.
Oh, yeah.
I've always been a perfectionist, and I realize that I mess up every day.
Yes.
I do not get it right, you know, half the time. Some of the times I try really hard, and some of the times I'm like, all right, not today. All right,
that's it. That's it. Hey, look, my necklace, it says grace upon grace.
There you go.
I feel like motherhood, that's it in a nutshell, is it not?
That's it. And you know, it's funny you say grace because I actually think that's one of the things that even with my faith, I've really learned the most from during parenting. It's grace. Because with daughters on the spectrum, one of my daughters, she is the type of person who she can run through this house and turn everything upside down. And then when you say, what's going on? She says, I'm sorry. And then she says, do you forgive me? And then she moves on. She expects it to just be perfect or just be fine. You forgive her and you move on. And it's because she lives in a world constantly where she has to be giving grace to people. She lives in a world that's not made for her. She lives in a world where people don't always, you know, present things in a way that she can understand. She's overlooked. People don't always listen to her. People don't structure classrooms in a way where she can function. They don't structure playgrounds in a way where she can function. And so with her, I realized that she spends a lot of time giving grace to the rest of us who just don't understand the little girl that she is and who she's trying to be. And so there are times when she gives grace to people who talk over her. She gives grace to people who look past her. She gives grace to people who assume she has nothing to say because she doesn't say it fast enough, because she might be delayed. And so as I sit and I realize that this kid, even with me, gives me grace every single day, that's where sometimes I sit down and I say, you know what, Claudia, you could learn to give a bit more grace. And so motherhood really has taught me a lot about grace, you know, giving it and also receiving it as well, which is sometimes even harder to receive grace, to say I'm sorry. Motherhood has also taught me saying I'm sorry to even my husband in front of my kids, because there are times when, you know, mommy's just not as patient. We talk about the fruits of the spirit a lot in our home. That's something that the girls have recited. They know quite well. And they like to say, "Mommy, you didn't do self-control today." So, you know, so I'll say to them, "What, you guys did not do kindness today. You were not kind to each other." And then they will come back and say, "Mommy, you didn't do self-control today." That's the hardest one for me. "You didn't do self-control today." So they humble me. They humble me. Grace and humility. They teach me a lot of that.
That's right. That's right. Oh, I maybe needed to hear that. And I wonder how many other people listening also needed to hear that story. Because you know what? I feel like I probably don't give enough grace to my kids, but I feel like I do give them quite a bit of grace. But the story about reflecting backwards and like how much grace she's giving all the time.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I just really needed to hear that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Ah, thank you, Lord.
Amen. That's right. Mm-hmm. So let me ask you, did you have anything else you wanted to share that I didn't give you a chance to?
You know, I just think for me, I just want people to know that they're not alone. That's one of the things that was the hardest for me, as we were walking through each season of weight, right? Was just continuing to remind myself that God is with me and God is for me and I'm not alone. And He shows up in different ways, whether it's through people, whether it's through, you know, sometimes it's a song that you hear, sometimes being still, and He ministers to me in that way. I think one of the things that I really want people to take away is that you're not alone. And God is with you. He's right there. He's not going to leave you. He never will.
Amen and amen.
Amen.
Yeah. And I think one of the ways we can remember that, because sometimes it does feel like the wilderness and we don't sense His presence, and most of the time we do, and sometimes it's hard, is then to go back and look at those stones of remembrance. Mm-hmm. Like,
that's it.
I remember the things that He did for me here, and He will still do it.
That's it.
That's good. It's good. Mm. So where can people find you in your book?
Yes. So I frequent myself on Instagram at Claudia R. Campbell.
Yeah, you're so fun to follow.
A website. You know, I try the Instagram thing to be all perfect and all curated. And sometimes it's a mini hodgepodge of just the things the Lord shows me through my life, or when my kids are jumping off a wall, well, not literally, but bouncing off the walls, or just ways that He kind of, you know, humbles me a little in the midst of different things. And so that's my Instagram. It's me. What you see is what you get. It may not have all the bows, but that's life. That's my life. And so,
I love it.
And so that's where I am. I also have a website at ClaudiaRCampbell.com as well. And the book is on Amazon, and it's also at Barnes & Noble online.
Very cool. In fact, one of the things you posted was you walking into a Barnes & Noble and finding it, right?
Yes, I did. It was so wild, which in the book marketing industry is something that doesn't really happen if you have not traditionally published, you know, for you to see your book on the bookshelves, especially Barnes & Noble. And my husband was just looking online and he's like, "Claudia, your book is 15 minutes away." I said, "No way." And so I didn't believe it almost. I walked in there. There it was. And so it was fun. It was fun for the kids to see. They got all excited. And so it was fun to see. And it was just a nice, you know, it was sweet. And it was sweet from the Lord. It was a sweet gift from the Lord. And just, He's just so kind. And I'm just so grateful.
That is so fun. I've never published a book, but I can imagine vicariously how exciting it would be to walk into a bookstore and see your creative work sitting in there on the shelf. Yeah.
It was fun.
That's worth celebrating for sure.
And well, Barnes & Noble has Starbucks, so I celebrated with a coffee right there.
Of course you did. Okay, so before we go, tell me this. How do you like your coffee?
So if I'm at Starbucks, I'm a white mocha.
Ooh, yum.
White mocha with almond milk. That's me. If I'm at Starbucks. And then I am a coffee snob. And so I'll tell people the greatest gift I ever bought for my husband was a swanky coffee machine that he uses to make coffee only for me, because he drinks black coffee. And so I'm a bit of a snob. He does the milk froth and all the things. And I do like an at-home version of white mocha as well. That's my favorite drink.
Oh, that's delicious. I'm going down on caffeine right now, so I'm only allowed to have one a day. And it is like making my life so sad.
It's hard.
You can do this.
You can do this.
I am doing it.
Yes.
In the midst of, I can do it. But
of course. Love it.
But I'm with you. Coffee's the best. I love it.
The best.
Well, Claudia, thank you so much for being on the podcast. It was so fun to have you.
Thank you for having me. I enjoyed this conversation so much.
Thanks again, Claudia, for being on today's podcast episode. I really enjoyed getting to know you. Your story, your words, and your devotional are all an encouragement to me. Well, friends, if you enjoyed this podcast episode, if you found it encouraging, I hope you'll go out and find Claudia's book, These Stones Remain, 60 Reflections on Finding Hope When Darkness Lingers. And I will link to that in today's show notes. I also highly recommend you go find Claudia on Instagram. She is a great follow. The next 3 episodes that you can look forward to are all going to be reflection episodes where we meditate on scripture. Specifically, we're going to be spending time in the Psalms. The Psalms teach us a lot about being a human in process. David was very honest and very real. And we're going to look at 3 different kinds of Psalms. Psalms of orientation, Psalms of disorientation, and Psalms of new orientation. So I hope you'll join me for those in the coming weeks. Well, that's all for today's podcast episode. I'm Jenny Detweiler with PRN. Pause, renew, next. May you be encouraged on your journey with Jesus.